agents there to greet us. They led us through the bush, under evergreens and hardwood trees, along the running brook. They brought us to the land that we signed the contracts for. It was nothing but a forest from the hills to the shore. Where were all the clearings? Where were all the paths? We thought there must be some mistake. There was no one there to ask. Knowing all the open space back in the yard south of Lee, we were afraid of all the darkness and the eyes within the trees. The hills behind us loomed with all the yellows and the reds. The fall was upon us and the water close ahead. Our children, they were starving. I knew what I had to do. I left the dug the San Mackay like the devil on the loose. I robbed the company store. I robbed the company store. The garrison knows me now because I robbed the company store. I robbed the company store. I robbed the company store. The garrison knows me now because I robbed the company store. We crept up on the soldiers, but took away their guns. Tied them to a hardwood tree so they couldn't run. There inside the storehouse, taking home what we need, we saluted to the men left a knife down by their feet. They sent a messenger to Halifax, 100 miles away. They called it a rebellion and the justice we should pay. We'll surely be arrested now, if only for revenge. No choice to do things different, I'll do the same again. I robbed the company store. I robbed the company store. The garrison knows me now because I robbed the company store. They ordered the militia to come from Truro Town, and the Yankee farmers got between and asked them to stand down. Said we'd only cause the problems if they didn't treat us fair. When everything was considered, they decided we were square. I robbed the company store. I robbed the company store. The garrison knows me now because I robbed the company store. I robbed the company store. I robbed the company store. The garrison knows me now because I robbed the company store. I robbed the company store. I robbed the company store. The garrison knows me now because I robbed the company store. The garrison knows me now because I robbed the company store.
Acclaimed Canadian singer-songwriter Dave Gunning is back on tour in Ontario this April, including a stop off in Leamington for a Road to Kingsville Folkfest show at the Bank Theatre on April the 15th. He'll also be at the Registry Theatre in Kitchener on April the 16th, Hughes Room in Toronto on April the 21st, and the Moonshine Cafe in Oakville on April the 28th. There's lots of other dates, so definitely check out Dave's website at davegunning.com for all the details. And Dave Gunning is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. How are you doing today, Dave?
Great, Jan. Thanks for having me on the show.
Great to have you join us. You're just back from Australia. You were in Australia for a 13-date tour on the back of the release of your latest album, which I gather is number 11, and that is the album Lift that came out in 2015. You must be pretty pleased with the way the album has been received.
Yeah, I guess. I didn't know what to expect when I put it out. I just knew that I wanted to try to put out something more acoustic this time, and not overproduced. So yeah, I'm thrilled with the way it's been received.
I think on this new album, the 9 tracks I think you're writing with other songwriters, most of them Canadian, just 4 Dave Gunning originals. Was that something that you wanted to specifically bring to this album?
Yeah, I've always enjoyed the exercise of co-writing. I find that sometimes, you know, I tend to get a little lazy from writing on my own. You know, if you're writing with a partner, sometimes you work a little harder to try to maybe impress them or something, or gives you almost like a little bit of a deadline because you don't want to let your partner down. And I think when I look back, at songs that I've written over the years, like I'm proud of the variety within the material, and a lot of that is due to the co-writing process. So yeah, it's something I enjoy. I find that writing can be a lonely experience sometimes otherwise, and I tour a lot by myself, so co-writing is kind of a social thing and something I really enjoy doing.
So when you're co-writing with someone, do you tend to get together perhaps for a weekend or a few days and write, or is it something that you would actually do in two different spaces and then send material back and forwards?
Usually the songs that I co-write on my own project are songs that I've dug into fairly deeply to begin with, and then I sort of pitch them to somebody saying, hey, will you help me finish this song? I mean, most times that's how it works for me, but other times, if I can get together with the person, you know, in the case of Tom Swift, he's a good buddy and just lives in Halifax. So he came up here and spent a couple of the nights, and we wrote, I think, three songs, and he recorded a couple of them, and I recorded one. I've always liked the idea of collaborating, just kind of just broadens your whole world. And oftentimes, if I'm writing something, I've written songs, and I thought, you know what, I might be able to finish this on my own, but this song really reminds me of this person, and I'm going to call this person and see if they're, you know, if they help me finish it. And I think that it's at the end of the day, the better the songs do, the better it is for everybody, you know. So it's I've never been too precious about trying to guard my ideas. I mean, who knows where this creative stuff even comes from, or whether we should take credit for any of it. I don't know. So for me, it's just all about the song, what's best for the song.
Do you find it fairly easy to come up with the material? I always like to ask the question of whether you're someone that maybe works with a melody and then starts to think about lyrics, or whether perhaps you keep a book where you may be writing lyrics down that you want to use for future songs.
Yeah, I log little hook ideas, like lyric hooks, titles, stories that pique my interest, and I just kind of make note of them when I'm traveling. And I find that I'm most productive writing-wise when I get back home, light a candle, maybe pour a little drink of whiskey or something, and just sort of relax, get into that space at home where I'm comfortable, and then just kind of start chipping away at things. And, you know, sometimes I'll have melody ideas on the road, and I'll just kind of record them quickly. But a lot of stuff, you know, is scattered all around the place. And sometimes little lyric hooks kind of match up with a melody hook that you might have had at another time. And, you know, there's a couple of songs on this record that had three different, totally different melodies, you know. And I'd record them three different ways, you know, different feels, different chords, everything. And just kind of pick my favorite one.
Does that mean that the other versions exist and maybe one day that you'll put them out as well?
I suppose. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe the scraps, what was left behind from those other ideas will end up evolving into other songs.
Tell us a little bit about the songs on the album. We started off with I Robbed the Company Store. You're known for writing songs that may be character-driven story songs or things that are more personal. This one's very upbeat, has a very direct story to it. Can you talk about that one?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, when the Scottish Highlanders arrived here in 1773 on the ship Hector, they were, of course, promised cleared land, and that wasn't the case when they arrived on the shores of Nova Scotia. There was no cleared land for them. And the stories of the Mi'kmaq First Nations people feeding them through that first winter and basically keeping them alive. But on the trip over, quite a few of the children ended up with scurvy, and some children passed away on the trip and were buried at sea. There's a story about a family who had a son who was weakening with scurvy, and they just couldn't get enough nutrients in him to make him better. So the father decided to rob the company store, which was guarded by two armed British officers. And so he and a couple of his buddies, they marched down to this company store, sort of, well, I don't know if they marched or snuck. Maybe they snuck. So they disarmed the soldiers and threw their guns in the woods and tied them to a tree and went in and robbed the company store to get food to, you know, feed their family. And then I could tell you more of the story, but it's basically in the song, and everything ended up good in the end.
One of my favorite songs on the album is They Don't Do That No More, which is, I think, a song that means a lot to you. I gather you grew up in Pictou County. You, I think, spend your whole life there, obviously very immersed in the community. And this song, I think, comes out of a really important community issue that you've got involved in. Can I get you to talk about that song and then we'll play it?
Sure, yeah. There's quite a few people in the community here fighting a local pulp mill that's owned by an Indonesian company. The pulp mill is called Northern Pulp. It's owned by Paper Excellence, which is owned by Asia Pulp and Paper from Indonesia. So the pulp mill is currently the worst of the worst in Canada in terms of the amount of water pollution per tonnage output that they put out from the mill. So it's the dirtiest pulp mill in the country by quite a long shot. And so there's been a movement here of people trying to get this mill to comply with the same standards that pulp mills elsewhere in the country are having to meet and elsewhere in the states are having to meet. And it's been a very discouraging fight at times. You know, the company does not seem interested in spending the money required to bring the mill up to the same compliance standards being met elsewhere. So we've just been trying to create awareness about this issue. But there's a lot of corruption here locally. Our former premier of Nova Scotia, John Hamm, when he was premier, he extended the lease or the use of Boat Harbor to allow Northern Pulp to dump all their pollutants into this which was natural body of water called Boat Harbor, which they designated as a treatment facility. Anyway, John Hamm extended that use till 2030, and now John Hamm is the chairman of the board at the pulp mill. So there's just a lot of local corruption that's taking place with the government, and there's no healthy tension between government and the mill itself. So it's been a very discouraging fight, but we've been creating awareness at least about the issue and very involved with that cause in my community.
Do you have hope that this company will be forced to manage it more in a way that would fit with the concerns of the local community?
Well, that was our hope, but the pattern is showing otherwise. The pattern is showing that the government will come up with regulations that they just cave in on. So, you know, we spent, since 2010, hundreds of thousands of dollars hiring third-party consultants to come in and advise the government on what was going to be required to bring this mill up to compliance standards, which would be fair to the mill, but also make them compliant with the same standards being met elsewhere. And just a few weeks ago, the mill met with the premier and threatened to close the mill if they didn't allow the mill to operate the way they want to run. So the government just historically keeps caving in to the mill's threats and demands. So we're not sure what's going to happen. You know, the company does not appear to be genuinely interested in cleaning up the mill, although they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on TV commercials talking about how great they are.
It's always a big challenge. Let's play that song just now. This is Dave Gunning from his latest album. It's entitled Lift. And this is They Don't Do That No More. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio. And I'm Jan Hall.
They walked everywhere they went and sailed on the wind. Wasn't even that long ago. Some still remember when you could drink the rivers and eat from every shore. Well, the tides come and go, they don't do that no more. There were dance halls all around. There was one on Green Hill with the good old boys and folks from town and all the women dressed to kill. Many met their sweethearts, wrote letters back and forth. Now that's all been changed, they don't do that no more. They don't do that no more. They don't do that no more. They don't write letters back and forth. They don't do that no more. Every family had a garden somewhere in the yard. Covered in dough, you'd always eat if times got hard. And homemade bread was common, so was being poor. Now there's credit cards and big box stores that don't do that no more. They don't do that no more. They don't do that no more. Spend more than they can afford. They don't do that. their kids, they play in the water. The Manning had a fishing fleet, she was good as any other. They'd swim out to Pine Island, boil fresh duck clams on shore. Then the big mill started going, they don't do that no more. They don't do that no more. They don't do that no more. There's poison on the harbor floor. They don't do that no more. They don't do that no more. They don't do that no more.
That's Dave Gunning with They Don't Do That No More. From the album Lift, Dave is our special guest on Folk Roots Radio today. That song written about a challenging issue in Pictou, Nova Scotia. And Dave, I wanted to talk to you about the importance of community. I mean, you're well known across Canada. You tour a hell of a lot. But I sense that home is really important to you. Can you talk about what it means to you to be a Maritimer, to be from Nova Scotia, but also from Pictou County as well?
Yeah, well, I guess it's my natural habitat. You know, I can go outside and I know what the weather's going to be like and for the day. You know, and people know me here. It's the type of area too where, you know, like I play 150 to 200 shows per year, but you know, I run into the old guys at the grocery store and they don't even know I've left town. So it keeps you grounded and just immersed in the local stories my family. Likes it here, you know, Sarah and my three sons, this is their home now. And so our plan is to stay here for as long as we can, you know, and, just feel lucky to be able to live in the place where I grew up. You know, I know where all the hiding places are and I'm not that far from the airport, just about an hour and 10 minutes from the Halifax airport. So it's pretty good for traveling.
I wanted to talk about one of your previous albums. It's one of my favorite albums, and that is the tribute to John Allan Cameron. He was an important person in your life?
Very important. I loved him. Very much still look up to John Allan. I always loved going to see him play. I was a huge fan, and growing up in my house, there was no difference between John Allan Cameron and Elvis Presley. There really wasn't. We went to see John Allan when I was a kid, and that was 1981. It was the first concert I ever saw, and Stan Rogers opened the show that night. So that kind of pulled me into that whole songwriting world. And John Allan was a huge supporter of songwriters and young musicians, and I actually played bass guitar for John Allan in the late 90s, and he'd always feature me in his shows. Became very good friends, and I just wanted to do that record. It was very kind of close to my heart, for sure. I wanted to just, as time goes on, I'm just not hearing as much John Allan Cameron as thought we should be. So I kind of picked a few of his tunes and recorded them, and it was a labor of love for sure.
And what about Stan Rogers? Can you talk about his influence on your music?
Stan Rogers was actually from Dundas, Ontario, from Hamilton. He used to spend his summers here with his grandparents, and his father was from Pictou County, actually. And I think maybe had Stan been born here, maybe he'd have taken it for granted. He just fell in love with the area, spending the summers here, writing about local fishermen and local stories. And he very much put us on the map. He made a lot of people proud to be Maritimers, and still does. And now, you know, his legacy obviously continues with the Stan Rogers Folk Festival. And you know, Stan Rogers is still my favorite, you know, and I think maybe the greatest historical writer who ever lived in this country. And I'm looking forward to actually playing with shows with Garnet. I've become a Garnet Rogers fan over time too, and I love Garnet's passion for honesty and talking about important issues that need to be addressed. And so I can't wait to hang out with him and do those shows with him.
Now, I mentioned at the start of this interview you're heading out on tour in April into Ontario, with a stop in Leamington for the Road to Kingsville Folk Fest show, and then off to Kitchener, Toronto, and Oakville, among other shows. Again, check out davegunning.com for all the details. You're just back from Australia. Tell us a little bit about how you received down there.
There's pockets of enthusiasm there, I guess. It was great. I find the Australian audience is very cozy feeling to be down there playing for them, very much like home. You know, it's a but it's kind of the perfect combination of exotic and familiar all at the same time. But it, you know, a couple of my songs have, when I got down there, there was a guy named Martin Pearson who was opening the show for me, and I looked at the set list and I saw These Hands, and I said, I wrote a song called These Hands, and he said, I know, I sing it every night. So it was kind of neat that, you know, there's been a little bit of traction there, and gathering a little bit of a following in Australia, and can't wait to go back.
You mentioned you play 150 plus shows a year. Can you talk a little bit about the live experience from your point of view?
Yeah, well, over time, you know, I grew up, you know, being a shy kind of person in general, and the whole act of performance was not something that maybe came naturally to me, although at this point I've done it so much it's one of the only things I know how to do. But I love seeing audiences laugh. I love seeing them have a good time and reflect and just try to make them think about the world in their own way without being preachy about it. I mean, I'm not preachy at my shows, but I do work hard to write songs that, you know, just try to put little thoughts in people's heads or hopefully show them a good time. You know, I really have come to enjoy the live performance aspect of what I do more than ever these days.
You'll be at the Mariposa Folk Festival this summer. Are festivals one of the things you love to do?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, Mariposa is a great festival. I've played there 3 times and can't wait to go back. Yeah, I enjoy the workshops and getting to connect with other artists, and then you get to really meet people. It's just, you're kind of walking around the site. You really get a feel for who's there, and sort of becomes this great experience every time.
Bearing in mind that we started this conversation talking about your collaboration with other songwriters on some of the songs on this album and your other albums, is that one of the ways that you find people that maybe you would like to collaborate with, you know, meeting them on stage for a workshop?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how it happens. You know, you get to know people over time, and they become almost part of your family over time because you're running into the same musicians at various festivals. And, you know, the folk music community in Canada is fairly tight-knit in many ways, you know, and you start out as a fan of these people, then you get to know them and become their friends, you know? Like, it's like someone like Lynn Miles, who I've always admired, you know, and loved her music. And then, you know, then I got to meet her at a festival. Then we got to work together. Then we did a couple shows together out west. And, you know, those relationships evolve and develop just through these festivals.
What does the future hold? You always come over as being very driven to me, but I'm always interested as to whether there's something a little out of left field that maybe one day you want to do, perhaps do something completely different.
Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm really enjoying life, and my family's obviously important, and I have to always consider, you know, how that ship is sailing. And but I, you know, I'm happy to be doing what I'm doing. You know, maybe this run in Ontario will go so well I can announce my retirement, and then maybe I can become a farmer.
We talked a little bit about your community passion and your political interests. Would you ever consider running for politics?
I don't think so. I think that I wouldn't do it for $10 million a year. You know, I don't think that it's not something that I'd be able to really handle. You know, I admire those who are brave and who enter it to try to make a difference. And, you know, but maybe I can do a little bit more kind of in the seat that I have now, you know, at least try.
Well, look, Dave, it's been great to talk to you today. If people want to learn more about your music, how can they do that?
Well, I have a website, davegunning.com, and all the dates are on there, and it's linked to a Facebook page and Twitter account. And, yeah, or, you know, you come out to a show and they can learn all kinds about me then. Maybe too much.
We're going to finish with another song from the album, and it's actually a song that's a tribute to Pete Seeger. It's Sing It Louder. Can you talk about why you wanted to write that song and what you hope that song can do?
Well, I wrote the song with Sally Spring from North Carolina. We were talking about some of our favorite musicians, and I had mentioned you know, Garnet Rogers in Canada, obviously, who's very just passionate about good things that need to be talked about. And of course, Pete Seeger addressed social issues his whole career, his whole life. And artists like Ani DiFranco in the U.S., just brave souls who speak out. But of course, when we're playing folk festivals, we're sort of singing for like-minded people to begin with. So Sally and I thought, well, what's the point in doing that? Well, maybe it's to get them to sing louder, you know? Why would we preach to the choir? So we thought, well, that's a good idea for a song, and we wrote this song.
That's great. Dave, as always, it's a pleasure. This is Dave Gunning with Sing It Louder from the album Lift. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio, and I'm Jan Hall.
I'm a soldier, but I never had a gun. I carry songs upon my shoulders, hoping we shall overcome. But on this road, I'm not the only one who's following the thunder of the drum. And I am not rich, but I have more than I need. In the middle of this battlefield, with money-driven greed, and the line's getting thinner now between right and wrong. Lift your voice, I'll beat the drum. Across the valleys and up through these hills, there's a feeling all over this land that if we stand and rise together, there is change within our power. I am preaching to the choir to sing it louder. I am preaching to the choir to sing it louder. Let's sing for the living upon the land and in the sea. Let's sing out for justice. Let's sing what we believe. And as the world spins round and round, may we one by one all join hands and beat the drum. Across the valleys and up through these hills, there's a feeling all over this land that if we stand and rise together, there is change within our power. I am preaching to the choir to sing it louder. I am preaching to the choir to sing it louder. So raise your voices now, we can make this work. Through the eye of the storm, we shall be heard. There's an echo in the distance that's played before. More suffering and hardship, more cruelty and war. But before we stop and rest, we must pass it on, for the young to march and beat the drum. Across the valleys and up through these hills, there's a feeling all over this land that if we stand and rise together, there's change within our power. I am preaching to the choir to sing it louder. I am preaching to the choir to sing it louder. I am preaching to the choir to sing it louder. I am preaching to the choir.